Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Joining me is Pat and John. I'm telling you, I am so pumped. If you missed the last 2 days' broadcast about God's generals and how God uses ordinary people, it can really encourage you. Maybe you are one. Maybe you are one. Today, we're excited about being able to focus on Israel. And we're going to have with us today, I guess, Akaya Lee. Akaya Lee was one of the keynote speakers at Washington, D.C. Summit, CUFI, Christians United for Israel's 8th summit, where they have over 1.2 million members now of Christians United for Israel. Of course, she's was part of the CUFI on campus, and we're looking forward to having her on today. And also, we're going to be able to have an interview with John Stockelbeck, with interviewing the founder of CUFI, and just powerful understanding. And what we're going to hear from John Hagee, the founder of CUFI, is very, very amazing, because he's going to be going to talk about that, you know, Israel is America's canary in the coal mine. Canary in the coal mine. And so, but man, you're not going to believe this. You're not going to believe this. I, you know, am trying to do what's right again.
Oh, my.
And
is that hard? Is that a...
It's a lot harder than you really think it is. It's a lot harder than you really... It's
amazing. I've got personal experience.
It's amazing. It's amazing. I know lettuce don't work.
No,
it's amazing how hard, you know, it really is. And it's like the older you get, I mean, you can eat air and gain weight. You know, you can eat air. You can eat air. That was just somebody floating through the room right here. It's amazing. It's like, what happened? There was a day that I remember. There was a day in our past that Donna and I would go to a restaurant as a typical, you know, American. Used to be. We're not typical Americans, obviously, anymore. And they have things called appetizers for a meal. They have a meal. And then after a meal, they have like your breads and salads and they have desserts afterwards. And, you know, being from the Emerald Coast, southern parts of America, this is not like dining in New York where they give you an ounce of something, you know?
I know it.
And we would eat. I remember we would eat the appetizer and all those whole courses of meals. And we'd walk out and we would lose 5 pounds in the process. 5 pounds.
Really?
Wow.
Oh,
how'd you do that?
Oh, Thomas.
I didn't believe you. I just want to know how you did. What's your secret?
Are you ever going to take care of that? Is it just going to keep coming up again and again and again? And again?
Apparently.
Well, I'm sorry. I was just talking to the producer. But it's not that way anymore. It's just not that way anymore. And besides, too, we did not really enjoy food as much back then as we do now. We maybe left some, I guess. Maybe that's what happened. But as you get older, I mean, food just really is amazingly good. You know? I cannot believe that I used to eat bland food. You know, all these flavors and wonderful things. And now, you know, you just, you know, drink a cup of air. And you got to just avoid the scales. You know what I'm saying? Like, what happened? I don't even want to. I just want to, you know. And here I've been, you know, okay, I'm going to do this thing again. I got my friend Guns out of South Carolina. And he's committed this thing's going to work. So if you're listening this morning, I'm telling you. And I'm drinking these, you know, shake mix that tastes like cake mix stuff. It's probably cake mix. And it's good. It gives you energy. Does a lot better than other things. And then I have this cookie that you eat, and the cookie kind of carries you in between the meals, and it's like a peanut butter protein. It's definitely healthy. And, you know, If nothing has changed, my health has changed.
That's the plus.
I look like the same canvas that you've seen before, but I'm a healthy canvas.
There you go.
And so I put, just to make sure that I don't grab something I shouldn't grab in the kitchen, I put my box of cookies, you know, my
bland
box of cookies, you know, on a totally clean counter. That's all it is. So you pass by and I go, oh, yeah. I'm doing what Guns promised me would happen if I stay on this thing. No, I'm holding you to it, Guns. And he's in Savannah, by the way. Mm-hmm. Give a shout out to everybody in Savannah today. And I mean it. And I go in there last night, or the night before last, and I'm going to go, I just happened to glance. And the thing about, you know, this thing that I'm on, it satisfies you. So you're not like
suffering.
Hungry for everything. You're not craving anything. Mm. But you're familiar how it used to taste. So you anyway. And so I go in there and I look at my plan, looking box, looks like a box of envelopes. Box that comes in. They should decorate it, you know, make it look a little bit more, you know, exciting. But anyway. And I happen to look around it. And you are not gonna believe. You are so not going to believe. It was saturated. Every square inch of counter was saturated with every form of cookie that you could imagine. I mean, there was chocolate-covered cookies. There was vanilla chocolate-covered cookies. You know, there was vanilla cookies. There was chocolate chip cookies. I'm thinking, what's going on? What in the world happened? And I'm thinking, this is demonic. I mean, I am totally, look at this. Look at that.
Oh, my gosh.
Is that something?
Oh, wow.
I'm like, my goodness. The enemy's trying to take me down. He is trying to take me down. I mean, look at this thing, man.
Oh, my goodness. I like those Vienna cookies like that. I like that. Is that part of the package?
You always were a vanilla person. Right? No mayonnaise.
You don't like white stuff.
No white stuff. But creamy stuff.
Anyway, so and so I thought, you know, I've been on this thing for a week and a half. Mm-hmm. Granted, I did go to Marianne and eat some great food for. I remember I went to the biscuit place, and then I went to the dinner place, and then I went to the Po' Folks place.
Oh no!
But it was just, you know, just a weekend.
Just a weekend.
And, you know, the Amish. I mean, the Amish, come on, right? The Amish, I mean, think about it. And so I had this bland piece of chicken. Mm-hmm. Nothing personal. And I thought, well, I'll just put a little Amish salad on the side of it. Amish macaroni salad.
Uh-huh.
I mean, the Amish. I mean, they could never, I mean, they don't even look like calories, right? I mean, and I realized probably the reason why they're so trim is because they're actually working the fields. But
right.
Working hard.
Dude, Amish salad, I mean, because it's good. I was piling it up. A half a cup is 250 calories. A cup is nothing. A cup is like 8 ounces.
4 ounces.
Oh.
A cup is 8 ounces.
You said half a cup.
Oh, yeah. Well, a cup.
I'm sorry. Yes, you are correct.
Well, I know you're sorry, but we're talking about the measurements. Measurements.
Do you see what I have to put up with? Do you see this?
I'm telling you,
okay.
Man.
I just want to make
Webster.
Sure.
He's like Webster over here.
Okay, verse.
Okay. Verse. It's a tournament.
Tournament.
But listen, it is amazing. I mean, I thought I wasn't eating anything except for the fried chicken.
Right.
You know, except for
the healthy fried chicken.
I had chicken as a biscuit.
The healthy fried chicken.
I had chicken as a finger, a chicken as a biscuit, I had a chicken as a plate, and then I had Amish salad, and then I had a, you know, chicken. And man, I didn't lose any weight. I didn't lose no weight. Of course, I'm still 180 pounds. Plus.
Right.
Right.
Plus.
I'm 7'1". But I was like, you know, I am so tired. I was like, this scale's broken, obviously. But it is much better than the doctor's scale. I was like,
Can you see the scale?
Americans are getting really, really big because I go to the doctor's scale. You know, they used to have this scale thing you stand on and kind of keep your balance, and then they'd slide these weights back and forth years ago, and now because they have digital scales. But now they have the scale.
Beep, beep, back it up.
It's like a room. It's not even a, it's just like a room, right?
Right, the whole floor is the scale.
It's got handrails. It's got handrails on the sides of it. Really? It's got handrails on the side of this thing, and I'm thinking, like, this is not going to be good. And so, you know, you lose me on there because it's so big. No,
it's a floating bed.
Yeah. The kind you pull your truck up on when they're weighing you.
I don't, yeah. You know, you
the
can
kind
weigh,
you put the dog, big dog in.
Yeah. You see if your truck's legal for the interstate. The and so you're getting on there. I'm thinking, well, the reason why this thing is going to be high is because the scale must weigh 2 tons.
Right.
And it's like, where did that number come from? You know, you just turn away like shame. I don't know where that thing comes from. I said, my keys. I carry about 10 pounds of keys. But it's just like, what's up with this? The older you get, my metabolism is moving at a rate of like 1/10 of a mile an hour. Mm. I mean, it is. I mean, you look at him.
I know.
Of course, Jordan told me he works his off on the treadmill. It's like every morning, boom, 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 boom.
Is that the secret?
The whole house is shaking. He's on the treadmill. Boom, 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 boom.
Just waking up the whole house, the whole neighborhood.
Right. He puts a Twinkie in front of him. He's like, runs after him. Boom, 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 boom. But I'm just thinking, like, my goodness, here I am eating Gunza's cookies and shakes.
Gunza's? Is that his name?
Is that his name?
What is that? What
are you talking about? Gunza's. He's from Chile.
Guns.
Okay.
My, I tell you, I feel like the disciples are right here. I don't believe nothing. Anyway, Shane.
Eating
it,
healthy.
It didn't change.
It didn't change.
It didn't change. And I can imagine. I mean, I think if by the time that I'm 40.
Plus or minus.
Right.
By the time I'm 40, I'll probably just be able to look at a bag of cookies and gain 5 pounds.
Dude, it's serious. It is serious.
I mean, it really is if you're not as tall as me.
Oh, hey. Serious problems.
You got to really pay close
attention.
Listen,
it goes sideways, man. You're in trouble, man. You're in trouble.
Do you remember we used to work together? You had a waist of like 16 or something. And you ate pizza.
Every day.
Every day. He had like a waist of 16.
I don't know what happened.
A height of 28.
I got married.
I know. Man, I gained 15 pounds on the first 3 weeks after I got married.
Oh, that was a long time. That was a long time.
And it hasn't stopped growing.
You know, I'm sure, you know, that... You know, Jesus ate everywhere he went. He was eating with everybody. And that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to follow in the steps.
Yes.
Eat what's put before you. And I try to get as many things put before me as possible because I want to be able to move in the spirit. You know what I'm saying? I want to be able to move in the spirit. But I just want to encourage you today that, you know, hold fast. Sometimes you just got to celebrate it didn't change. Because the numbers can go two ways.
This is true.
And just pray that we'll go back to an agriculture society and we'll be back again, you know, plowing up the back 40, pulling behind the mule, and we won't have any problem at all, right?
Mm-hmm. Is there a virtual way to do that? Is there...
And when you think like that, you go, you know, I don't mind carrying this weight. I can carry this weight. Nothing like what Pat's teaching us.
I know.
Blousing.
Yes.
It's very effective.
It really is. He's like an artist, man.
He's an artist. He's been practicing for years.
For years. You don't have to blouse anymore, you know. It's kind of like, it's just like the blouse.
I do anyway.
He's just addicted to blousing.
That's
we didn't even call it blousing to his mother called it blousing.
Yeah,
he blouses his shirt. It's like the paradigm shift.
Of all things.
You know, a Saints fan blouses his jersey. It just was an interesting thing.
It just doesn't
fit,
does it? I mean, just maybe we can have a... Because people may not know what that is. We may have a picture on the torch for that.
Blousing?
Blousing, Pat. You can.
We
got to
have
us.
An older blousing picture because now it doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
His waist is like about 12.
Jordan, I know you're listening. Can you just help us out?
Right. Oh, they're all coming in from everywhere. Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
Great.
We're going to have an interview with Akeli, one of the keynote speakers of CUFI DC, the 8th annual summit. But first, I want you to hear firsthand. It's not an excellent recording, but I want you to hear... a recording of her giving her speech or part of her speech in Washington, D.C. So inspiring. So you have to understand that the quality of what you're hearing, you kind of hear her in the background because this is somebody holding up some sort of recording device, probably some sort of mobile phone or something. But just hear her in the background because we're about to have an interview with Akaya here on VFN Radio. Listen up.
I say good evening, family. And I say your family because you're supporters of Israel. And if you're a supporter of Israel, I consider you my family.
You have to understand, this is Christians United for Israel's 8th summit in Washington, D.C. I mean, make sure that you understand that's what's going on. So you have this huge auditorium, all of the world's focus. You have the prime minister of Israel as part of it, Benjamin Netanyahu, John Hagee, all the ministers, Messianic believers, Israel's there, the church. I mean, just huge.
Yeah.
Congressmen, senators, and this is Kaylee. Mm-hmm. She's one of the keynote speakers, and we'll have an interview with her in just a moment, but I wanted you to hear what happened there. This is a kind of a recording from the audience, so it's kind of a little bit difficult to hear, but listen up.
I was born in a family that supported the nation of Israel. I found myself at the age of 19 on a campus where I was an Israel supporter, but I didn't know enough to make a difference in my community on my campus and what that meant. And then the Lord introduced me to this organization called Christians United for Israel through my pastor, Happy Caldwell, in Little Rock, Arkansas, and it changed my life. I went to my first summit in Washington, D.C. 3 years ago, and I was introduced to something called the two-minute challenge. Many of our KUPI on campus students are very familiar with it. They gave me the information that I needed to go on campus and confront day-to-day arguments against the nation of Israel. I'll give you some examples. From a historical perspective on campus, sometimes people will say, well, we shouldn't support the nation of Israel because they haven't tried hard enough to give up land for peace. They just haven't put forth the effort. And I can say, well, actually, my friend David Robb told me that since 1937, there have been 5 two-state solutions on the table. And every single time Israel accepted it, and every single time the Palestinian Authority rejected it, don't tell me they haven't been willing to make sacrifices for peace. I can
Yeah, you are listening to Akaylee, one of the keynote speakers.
Wow.
An awesome job. An awesome job. Obviously, the recording is not as cool, but look at me. It was powerful. It was a standing room just shouting, yeah. If it wasn't for God changing Jacob's name to Israel, it would be Christians United for Jacob.
Right.
Is that not powerful?
That is powerful.
That is so, so powerful. And I'm so excited that right now joining us is Akaylee, the speaker that you just heard. Akaylee, oh my goodness. How are you doing?
I am excellent. How are you?
Doing so wonderfully well. I was sitting here listening. For those that don't know, this is Akaylee, part of CUFI, Christians United for Israel, on your campus. And your college is Arkansas University, is it?
I was chapter president at the University of Arkansas at Little Rock.
At Little Rock. Oh, my goodness. You know, I'm sitting here listening. We're supporters of CUFI. And here in America and also Israel directly, and we were listening to everybody, you know, deliver the things you need to deliver and all that. But when you got up, I mean, I just felt your heart. I felt your spirit in my office. You know, I'm sitting here and I'm listening to the stream coming from there, and you so encouraged me. I mean, I just felt your heart and your love for Israel and your passion and your ability to download in about 3 minutes and then 8 minutes. I'm thinking, like, need we say more? That was, you know, I mean, it was just so encouraging and it just stirred my heart. And we're so honored to have you on VFN Radio with us today. And also joining us is John Ramos is
hello,
with
hello.
Us as well. But how you doing?
I'm great. It's such an honor to be on here with you, Greg and John. Thank you so much for having me.
So what's the weather like in Arkansas right now?
We had a little bit of rain last night and this morning, but the sun's starting to peep out, and it's a nice, cool summer day for us.
Very, very good. The those tornadoes that came through there, those tragic tornadoes that came through the middle of our country were just horrific. Our hearts were just broken when we saw that. Did they come anywhere near you?
They did not come very close to Little Rock, but we certainly sent teams out to the roughest hit parts, especially in Oklahoma. They were definitely hit the hardest.
Wow. Well, I want to be able to talk to you a little bit, but first I want to be able to play this short little audio video about CUFI, because, you know, you were speaking as part of CUFI that was going there. I know that you are here today. We're talking about your love for Israel and our love for Israel, but just kind of give our listeners a understanding of CUFI college campuses. So we're just going to play this and listen up. This is Christians United for Israel Campus Ministry. This is what they hear, and you can find this at CUFI.org. That's CUFI.org. It's 4 minutes.
In the 1930s, through propaganda and education against the Jews, the demonization of the Jews, slowly it infiltrated both the political system but also the educational system. And the result of it, we know, was the Holocaust. And the fear is that today we might have a repeat of it.
There's a lot of anti-Israel sentiment at the university. A lot of the students, they'll spread lies about Israel.
They demonize Israeli Jews. They delegitimize the state of Israel.
There's been a concerted effort on the part of the fundamental Islam to infiltrate the American college system.
The people that were bringing some of the anti-Israel material to campus were actually faculty members.
We had several different pro-Israel speakers come, and we had professors go there screaming, "Death to Israel, kill the Jews."
I even had a professor showing a video that was talking about how anyone who supports Israel is anti-American.
And there's a double standard there. In the classroom, the students that are pro-Israel are often shouted down or ridiculed.
They will intimidate you. They will threaten you.
We will fight you until we are either martyred or until we are victorious.
They're trying to convert the American college system into haters of Israel and the haters of the Jewish people.
One thing that really stood out to me was Christians United for Israel's seal, "For Zion's sake, I will not be silent."
I just fell in love with Cufi. I had this passion for Israel within me, but I had no way of really expressing it.
Cufi on campus has completely changed my ability to advocate on behalf of Israel and on behalf of the Jewish people.
Cufi gave me an opportunity to really start educating myself on a fight that's going on right now, and I believe one that's only going to get harder.
It is essential that we equip young Christian leaders with the knowledge and the ability to speak up and to stand up for the truth, presenting a compelling case for the American and Christian support for the Jewish state.
Cufi has been such a blessing in every other aspect of my life. I really felt like God kept bringing it into my life and laying it on my heart. I'm a college student. I can't give all of my resources, but I can give my voice, I can give my hands, and I can give my feet to do the will and the purpose that I'm called to do.
What's really cool is you're able to take your faith and your theology and convert it into action. God has given us a voice to speak up for Israel and the Jewish people.
The truth must be said. And what Cufi is doing exactly that. They're telling the truth.
And when you mix passion and truth, you can't lose.
At our events, we were able to articulate to the community members what was going on and why it was so important that they speak up.
It was amazing to see some of the students' response, how interested they were.
I applied for the summer summit, and that really kind of rocked my world.
That DC Cufi summit, changed my life.
I would say, bar none statistically, the amount of individuals that come to Cufi summit and go back and do activism on their campus outweighs any other organization.
The conversation about Israel on America's college campuses must be changed right now. Please join us in this critical effort today. We cannot afford to lose this fight.
It's just so impressive to see what Cufi is doing. Okay, tell me this. Tell me this, first of all. I got so much I want to talk to you about. But what's happening on our college campuses? What is the mindset about Israel predominantly taking place? You know, based on what we're seeing, what we're hearing, is they're promoting anti-Israel propaganda on the campuses, and the Cufi is taking that stand. Can you tell us what your experience has been?
Absolutely. You know, it's really interesting. Over 60% of Americans are pro-Israel, but when you talk to college students, only about 33 or 35% are pro-Israel. That's a pretty significant jump, and it is because of all the propaganda and all the anti-Israel rhetoric that's happening on campuses, in student unions, in classrooms, and in so many arenas. It's really a pretty ridiculous sight to see.
You know, so many people have, so many believers, Christians, who have a deeper understanding of the Lord, understands the significance of the time clock and the apple of God's eye in Israel, and how important, you know, our brothers and sisters are in Israel. And I noticed that when you were giving your speech, we're going to talk about in a moment, that you had that longing in your heart, and you, at that point in the beginning, you didn't know that Cufi was actually, it was happening like that. What led you to participate or to connect with Cufi in a Christians United for Israel on campus?
Absolutely. Well, I started attending Agape Church in Little Rock, Arkansas 3 years ago, and that's actually where I work now. And I was in the services, I was a pretty new member, and my pastor said that he was on the board of Christians United for Israel, and that if there were any college students in the congregation, they could qualify to go to the summit in Washington, D.C. That was 3 years ago. So I applied for the scholarship, went to D.C., and just completely had my whole world turned upside down in the best way I could have imagined.
Oh, that's so cool. So it started with of going to that summit in the summer, was it?
Yes, every July.
And every one of us have an opportunity to participate, to help those go, or to go ourselves to that summit. So that was the pinnacle point, huh?
Absolutely.
What happened? What happened there? What shift took place? What happened to cause that shift? Obviously, the presence and the power of God and just touching your heart. But what was the thing that just you felt like that you connected with?
Absolutely. Well, you know, through all of the great information that CUFI on campus and CUFI gave to us in that, you know, 3 or 4 day conference period, I just really sensed that I had more or less faith without works. I said that I was a supporter of Israel, and I never really did anything to show it. And I was thoroughly convicted. But I wasn't convicted to discouragement. I was convicted to change and begin to put some works with my face, so to speak, and show in my life my support for the nation of Israel.
I love that, because out of your own personal testimony, then I can understand part of your speech, because you kind of brought that up and said, hey, church, you know, that was beautiful. So now, I love to, obviously they must teach something, because you said they taught you about the two minute challenge, and I'm trying to do some research about what's it. I got to find this two minute challenge, because that was beautiful, you know, because I mean, you know, Satan's a liar and he's going to, you know, come out, and it's crazy the lies that are told on Israel. But to respond ignorantly just feeds into the lies. And you had such an intellectual, you know, biblical response. What are some of the lies that people came up that you gave scenarios of what took, you know, somebody came up to you and they said this and your response to it. Can you go over a couple of those for us?
Absolutely. I love this. This is my favorite thing that I've learned through CUFI. And I normally give 3 points because that's how CUFI gives it to us. And so for one, historically, and these are conversations I've had on my campus, and that's why I use these. People say that the Jewish people don't have a historical right to the land, or they say that the Jewish people are not willing to give up the land for peace. So, you know, we shouldn't support them because they're just not willing to share. And the truth of the matter is, since 1937, there have been 5 two-state solutions on the table, and every time there was a solution on the table, the Israel side accepted it, even when it meant they would only have a third of what was left, and the Palestinian Authority rejected it every single time. So it's amazing
they don't present it that way, but you have them, and when you watch and you're following Israel, you're thinking, no, don't give up money. They always are willing to be humble in that approach, and they do offer your right. They offer to give it up, and just like you said, they get turned down every single time. What does it make you think about right now when our president's meeting with both of the bargaining sides of what Secretary of State Kerry is doing, trying to get them to give up, you know, land, and he's meeting, understanding what you just said, knowing that he's meeting with them this week in his office, the Palestinian negotiator and the Israeli negotiators, to convince them of what, based on experience, it's just not going to happen, is it?
Well, I certainly can't speak for CUFI, but in the midst of what all's going on, my prayer is that it will just work out for what's best for the people in the land, and that's for the Jews and the Arabs.
Exactly.
You know, it's easy for me to say what I wish would happen, but it's a different story when you're in their shoes.
Right. Based on the argument is that if in fact Israel offers, says yes, we'll do this again if everything happens as it happened in the past, no matter what Israel offers up, it seems like it's not taken. I know, though, that when myself and Pat, the producer of BFN Radio, were in Israel, and the church needs to have a perspective like you're talking about, because there's Christian Arabs, there's Messianic believers, there's the Jews that are there. I mean, it's amazing of the nations that are there in such a small, small land. And so it's not a black and white issue. It's not a yes and no issue type situation. And sometimes we do cast our judgments on the whole thing, and that's definitely the right approach that you're talking about. So what's another things that you faced on campus, another argument?
Sure. From a political perspective, people think that it's just too icky to try to get involved in the Israel issue, like some people would call it. And this, I just don't get it. And for one, you know, my favorite point is Israel is the only nation in the Middle East where women have rights. They're treated like people, like human beings, instead of like pieces of property. So how can you not stand behind a nation who so thoroughly and so sincerely perpetuates the sanctity of human life? You know, even in that way of looking at things, and not to mention they're an actual democracy that functions like one in the Middle East and such a faithful ally to us. You know, how can we not see the benefits to politically being an ally and a supporter of the nation of Israel?
It's obviously God's people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, which means God's people can be destroyed. But when you see someone, a lady who loves God, misinterpret and not understand by supporting this other situation, it's like, don't you understand? They're oppressing your sisters. Mm-hmm. They're not, it's just hard to even describe the reality of how women are treated. You can't go out alone. You can't drive a car. If you get abused, it's your fault. You know, I mean, just crazy things that happen to women. And it really surprises me when I see, women leaders in our country go to these countries who abuse in that way, or support the governments that are oppressing women. And then we say we're actually for, women's rights. And it's like the last thing I'd want to do as a lady was to be under. I wanted to be like you're talking about.
That's
It's the only nation. It's the only one that treats women like human beings, in regards to that they count. That was just so true. But you delivered, obviously, you're a lady and you delivered it awesomely well. But it's true. It's totally true. And I just really appreciated that point. What's the third one?
The third one is my favorite. That's the biblical perspective. It really cracks me up how people can take the Bible and make it say that we're not supposed to support Israel. God just makes it so simple. And he gave the land to Abraham and his descendants forever. And in Scripture, he makes it clear that that went from Abraham through Isaac to Jacob. It didn't go through any of Abraham's other sons. Throughout Genesis, he makes it overwhelmingly clear. And even in the New Testament, in Acts chapter 7, verse 8, it says, Abraham begot Isaac, begot Jacob. We have New Testament reference for that as well. And God's the one that changed Jacob's name to Israel. And I just love to say, if it wasn't for that, we would be Christians United for Jacob.
That's beautiful. That was so beautiful.
That.
It's like, that's the end of the argument. That's, okay, I mean, he's the only Jacob here. You got it? And of course, God interchanged all the time. He would get upset or, the way you would do with your own child, you call them by their middle name. I mean, he would, even though he's looking Israel square in the face, he would say, Jacob. And because that's who he is. That's the nation of Jacob. It's the nation of Israel. And that was just beautiful. That was so beautiful. And it brought clarity because, a lot of times we're not abiding as much in that area of the word. And we need to have the whole word, especially that word, because that is where we need to be really focused. Because I like the last point, and this is where I want to get at. And you talk about here, what's going through you? Who asked you to be? I mean, obviously somebody came to you and said, we'd like for you to speak on this particular issue. And I like it seemed like to me that you pondered that and you said, okay, this is then what I'm going to do. And you presented your heart up there. I mean, what was going through your mind? Who asked you to speak? And what was going through your heart when the early invitation days before you're walking into that situation?
Sure. It's interesting. I actually gave like the first third of this speech a year ago at our Night to Honor Israel at our church in Little Rock. And Pastor John Hagee was there. And then he asked me to come and speak at an event in February in San Antonio. And so I did a similar speech with a little bit more. And so what I did in D.C. last week was sort of a culmination of what I believe the Lord gave to me about CUFI on campus. And David Brog, the executive director of Christians United for Israel, asked me to come out last week and just share my heart about CUFI on campus. And I was just honored to get to do that on that platform to the whole group.
Well, we've been supporters of CUFI for some time, and, we love Israel. And I got my call, by the way, was on the side of Tiberias. God called me and spoke to me about what I'm doing today, but he told me I was in Israel in Tiberias, on the side of Galilee. Just there's something so special, so sweet about just tapping in a little bit into God's heart for Israel, and it just shows the love of God. I mean, when you go there and you find out, it's like, it just took me a few moments to get from one side to the other. just the fact of how small it is and nobody can take it out shows you how big our God is, and you can't mess with this thing. And but you know, here you are fixing to deliver this, and the reason why I'm asking that is because there's so many people that think that they can't be used by God. They would think, there's no way, you know, I don't have, you know, I don't have her, you know, talents and her skills, and she's obviously just some perfect person. That's the, and this, the enemy defeats a lot of us by doing that. What would you say to somebody who says that they couldn't be used if they were called on? And it built. I like the way that you explain how it built, because that's exactly how it happens. You know, when we're faithful over the little things, God trusts us with more. But the big thing is we're building our own faith when we progress and things kind of develop. So what would you say to that particular person?
Well, first I'd say spend a day with me and you see how I'm not perfect. But, you know, what really blessed me was just a few minutes before I went out, my pastor came and found where I was sitting and blessed me and sent me with his blessing. And that was just so huge to me. And, you know, the Lord just sent me people to speak peace over me. And the night before, I didn't sleep too well. But as I walked out there, I just walked out in the peace of God and just knowing that it was him, it was his anointing and not me that was going to do it. And that if he had a word that the people needed to hear, that he would find a way to get it out in spite of me if he needed to. And because, you know, I went back and listened to it and I said things that weren't in my notes. And so I just know that the hand of God was upon it, and it's by his grace and his anointing. I just trust him to do it.
Yeah, I've had those moments where you're taking notes on yourself. God, that was good. Thank you, Lord. That was really good. My goodness, you know, people thinking, man, they do everything. No, I didn't even know that at all. That was God using me at that moment. The well, also, in the context of that, when you were delivering and speaking about perspective, you have to understand, here we are. We've been supporters of Christians United for Israel. We've been, you know, we've helped get bomb shelters, the bus stop bomb shelter type situations there. We've done all this. But it's what God delivered to you that just broadened our viewpoint of, oh my goodness, she's right. Yeah. And I know you're delivering what Kufi delivered to you, but God used you to broaden our perspective of going, you know, this is why we're supporting Kufi. This is why we are giving money on a regular basis to Kufi, so that you can have those summit experiences and you can find out about those, you know, 2-minute encounters and the different things that are going. You know what I'm saying? It's like you gave purpose to our giving and connected us to how meaningful it is, and to stand with Kufi as we stand as a nation, or at least hold our leaders' feet to the fire to stand for the nation of Israel, just meant a lot to us, and we're very thankful for that. I noticed the last part of your speech, you came in there and you said, okay, cool, great, fine, you know. And then you started dealing with the church. You know, you won't see me again till you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hello, church, this is us. You know, how will they know unless we wake up? Mm-hmm. And we keep waiting for somebody else to do it, and we are the us. I mean, talk to us about that aspect of the church. The church is listening right now. They're a believer. They're a Christian. And they're saying, yeah, that's right. Let Achaia do it all. And it's like, no, no, no. Talk to the church and how you talk to the world here from D.C., Emmett. Let us know.
Sure. You know, that was actually something I don't know if I had heard put that way before. I was on the airplane headed to D.C., and I just sensed, you know, we're the church. We're God's ambassadors. We're his representatives in the earth. And so whatever he's going to do, he wants to use us to get it done. And so if God says, I want to bless my people Israel, then he wants to use the church to get it done. And to me, that magnifies the level of responsibility that is on it. It puts it in the proper perspective in my book that this isn't something that I do because it's cool or because it's cliquish or because I have Kufi friends. This is what I do because it's the Father heart of God for his people. And the Bible says he put his name in that land. He put his name in the people there. So he is very serious about this because he doesn't take his name lightly. We're told not to take it in vain. So is it possible that counting his people where he put his name as of none effect, or that's not a big deal, or I'm not responsible for that? Could that be profaning his name? Could that be taking his name in vain? I'm certainly not willing to take that risk. And so my conviction is...
Oh, go ahead. Go ahead.
Oh, sure. My conviction is, you know, God takes that seriously. That's where he put his name. So I'm to honor his name through honoring the Jewish people.
And that's that. I mean, God is opening our eyes more and more and more and ever revealing in this because, I mean, he began, we had a gathering of our old churches coming together and just beginning the conversation, God's perspective of Israel. And the conclusion was of this whole gathering of several meetings and is, you know, that God has given us, somebody says, why would you treat someone so well that doesn't even really pay attention to you, acknowledge you, mm-hmm. acknowledge Jesus as the Messiah and all these different things that people say or whatever. And then we look at them and we say, but you don't understand that that's my brother, mm-hmm. that's my sister, and our father gave me his eyes. I have his eyes. Mm-hmm. I can see what he presently can't see, but he's going to have, how could I not be there for him or her, because I can see, the veil's lifted off my eyes, but one day the Father, they're going to see clearly. That's the only reason we can see. So how could we say anything other than what you're saying? We need to stand there with Israel, who is predominantly veiled until the full number of the Gentiles come in, and then the Gentiles are going to be left in the, you know, the mm-hmm. proverbial wise dust. It's like, oh, y'all don't even understand. You know, right. Y'all are just kind of getting a grip a little bit of this. You know, we got this thing. We're the one that brought the word to you right there. But I know John has a question for you there.
Hi, okay. This is John. Just wanted to say thank you. Thank you. Thank you for expressing what many of us have felt and do feel. I wanted to ask you to give us a little bit of fresh perspective. I know we talked about it a little bit earlier in this interview about what is happening on the college campuses. I think that a lot of people don't really understand the aggressive attack that's on Israel, and especially what's being waged on the college campus, since a lot of people, you know, don't have that experience or haven't been to college, and it's been a long time since they've been to school. They don't know what's happening out there.
Absolutely. You know, CUFI put together this awesome student exhibit about the fight on campuses, because it's something that I can explain to you briefly, but until you see the signs, until you hear the screams and the anti-Israel rhetoric, it won't really, you know, resound in you what's going on. So I hope it's okay to mention, you know, CUFIOnCampus.org will help you to understand in more detail what's going on.
Can you repeat that website again?
That's CUFI, C-U-F-I, oncampus.org.
Cool.
And CUFI on Campus has a great team of young leaders that are leading the way in the fight on campus. And essentially, what we see on campuses all across the United States are, for on one hand, professors in classrooms teaching anti-Israel propaganda as actual information in education. They are...
How are they getting away with this? What do they do? I mean, I had a professor in business finance, and they told him, he had tenure, and he said, they told him, though, we don't want your book, because they didn't like his book. Uh-huh. So what he did was, he Xeroxed his book, and he handed it out to us piece by piece. And therefore, mm-hmm. he can get away with delivering something that the campus told him not to deliver. You know what I'm saying? That even though he had tenure, he was offended they couldn't get rid of him. Is it tenure? Is that what's really doing this? I mean, once you have tenure, you can pretty much do anything you want to as a professor?
You know, I don't really know the ins and outs of that part. You know, honestly, I don't even know how much of it's in the actual curriculum, but, you know, a lot of students coming out of high school, they go on campus and they feel there's really not much reason to not trust your professor.
Right. Right.
You know, they've been there. And so
they say they've been there.
Right.
Exactly. You know, students come in and this is my professor. They have a PhD. Obviously, they know what they're talking about. And there's not much reason to doubt it. And that's where a lot of the problem can happen is, you know, a lot of innocent students are taking down this information and they honestly don't know better.
Yes. And in the premise, they said that those who do, and those who don't teach.
Yeah.
You think about it. If I have, and I don't say anything against instructors or teachers, but the whole thing is there's nothing better than learning from somebody who's teaching you, who's actually doing what they're saying. Because right. You can look at the practicum. I mean, if you go to Harvard, you're going to go talk about actual business practices, for example, and they're going to take theory and they're going to talk about this is what happened to this company, this is what's going on. And so many instructors have really never really have applied that, you know. And so you have these students who are coming in and they're ready to just learn how to apply it because they're going to get a job and live life. And they're learning from people who just operate out of theory, which the theories you can play with everything.
Right.
And they even start playing around with our founding fathers and where we come from and that we're, you know, our stand for Israel and just crazy things is going to cost us our country if we don't wake up.
Mm-hmm.
So what would you recommend to that student who's coming? I mean, obviously, then you're talking about, you know, getting a right kind of eyes, a viewpoint of these. And, you know, I'm saying they don't know everything. They're not omnipotent. You know, they're mm-hmm. not. What would you say?
I would say use what's already out there. Don't reinvent the wheel. I would go straight to KufiOnCampus.org. Mm-hmm. I would read their blog articles. Mm-hmm. I would email questions if I had questions. I would find out how to start a KUFI on campus chapter at my campus.
Oh, beautiful. Because you can do that? You can start one on your campus? Oh, you can do that?
Absolutely. That's the only way to make a real impact. That's the only way to make a real difference because you need to make sure that your peers understand the truth. And the only way you can do that is to get the truth to them.
So many young people are just looking for, I just want to connect to a few other friends for something significant. And quite often the enemy takes advantage of that, but this mm-hmm. is going to be significant for them to connect to, isn't it?
Absolutely. It absolutely revolutionized the friends that I kept. You know, once I got involved with KUFI on campus and got to take it back home, I mean, it was pretty easy to find out who of my friends were pro-Israel and which one weren't. And then those who were not either got converted or they walked away. And so it was just nice to have that like-minded community group of Christians united for Israel on campus.
And they say, how can two walk together lest they agree, right?
Absolutely.
And walking, it's nothing worse than walking with a whole bunch of folks that everybody's going in their own direction. And you find out it's like these folks love God too, mm-hmm. and they love God's people. Well, in closing, I'd like to ask this question. You know, from what I understand, there is a KUFI representative in every state, right? All 50 states.
There should be a KUFI member there some way. KUFI could help you find out for certain.
And if they can't find this person, then can they, as Christians, can they become that representative in their community as well? Is there?
I'm sure that they can. I know KUFI definitely sets it up where people can go online to KUFI.org, C-U-F-I.org, and you can find out how to become what's called a congregational representative. Take KUFI to your church, to your pastor, and get it in there. And that's really how KUFI works so well is it has such an awesome presence in churches all across the nation. And then from there, it can definitely start to impact our communities.
Totally awesome. If you haven't heard it, don't know yet, we're talking to Akaylee, the one of the speakers at Washington, D.C.'s KUFI this year in 2013. Powerful, powerful. The most anointed situation. I'm not saying to puff her up. I mean, God just used her. Mm. And here we've been partners at this point with KUFI and been standing with them, and our hearts are there. But just our eyes are opened up. The education is what's being said is, that if the first thing the adversary does, it goes for our young people and begins to change the educational institution, which means we got to go back and combat that with truth. And that's what Akaylee was doing and is doing through college, KUFI campus, college campus. And we have to get there behind on campus and we have to get there behind them. And in closing, I would like to hear you say to our listeners, when you said this, we can't do this alone. talk to them. How can they participate in that way?
Absolutely. I just want to say, all you listeners, we need you. Our generation needs you so badly. And we're definitely under attack. Everything that the enemy can throw against our generation has been thrown against us. But with you, we will overcome. And so what we need first and foremost is your prayers. We need them every day. We need you to pray for our generation. We need you to ask the Lord to put his blessing upon us and embolden us and empower us to do what he's called us to do. And we also need your financial support through whatever means it means to get it to us. We certainly need it through KUFI and the fight on campus because I would never have known about CUFI on campus. I would have never gotten the information that I needed if somebody had not paid for me to go to Washington, D.C. and learn what I've learned over these last few years. So your prayers and your financial support are what we absolutely need from you.
Awesome. Totally awesome. Well, I am just so pumped. I'm so encouraged. I thank you for being a part of that. And I know this, you can think about this, because it's what Akaya said. Because she went to the summer summit, when somebody in, and not the ages, because obviously I know people that 60, 70, 80 are not walking in the boldness that Akaya is, but you need to know, how. What's your age, Akaya?
I'm 27.
27 years old. In your 20s, in your early 30s, it's time just to rise up and say, you know what? We can do this thing. Mm-hmm. We can do this thing. And if somebody says, I would like to go, but I can't afford to go, understand you can shift their perspective by going and buying their ticket to go to the summit in Washington, D.C., and just watch what happens. Buy their ticket, see what they need, take care of more than just their ticket, and pray for that. Everybody praying for them, because they're going to come back as a firebrand, a firebrand with a love for God, love for Israel, and how to understand God's perspective of Israel. Thank you so much, Akaya, for joining us on VFN Radio.
Thank you so much.
God bless you, and shalom.
Shalom.
Well, we're coming to the end of the first hour. We had such a wonderful time. Don't forget to catch us in the extra hour beginning in just a moment. For those that are leaving us, you can catch us at VFNTV.com or catch the second half, the extra hour, on your mobile device, your iPhone, your Android, and all those wonderful places at VFNTV.com. You're listening to VFN Radio. For those who are sticking with us, we'll see you on the other side.
Steve, have you seen our new Facebook page?
That is awesome. Yes, I have.
All our radio subscribers need to do is go to our Facebook page, and you go to facebook.com/VFNTV, and you can check it out. It's constantly being updated. There's new radio segments posted daily. I want to encourage you to like us and have your friends like our VFNTV page on Facebook.